Today on Insight for Living from Chuck Swindoll.
His plan for us is so much greater. It is so beyond what you could imagine. But your inadequacy, your pleading inadequacy, will put the brakes on it every time. I mean, who am I? You know the problem? We don't think theologically. We think humanly. God's goal is to make us like His Son.
Some would call the will of God profoundly enigmatic. At the very least, we find that God's surprising ways defy conventional wisdom. His ways are mysterious and often quite shocking. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in an 11-part series called The Mystery of God's Will. In this next study, Chuck provides a sweeping summary of this in-depth teaching series. In the end, we'll come to realize that God's will, while mysterious, is always best. Chuck titled this final message, A Better Way to Look at God's Will.
That last song we sang provides a wonderful introduction to the mystery of God's will. We sang, God will make a way. And the way He does it is often absolutely unexpected and full of surprises, as all of us could testify. I mean, would you have ever guessed the last 5 years of your life would have been as your life has been? Not a person here would have ever guessed that. I'm telling you, He's up to something great. We can never figure it out. It'll be terrific, won't it? Don't get your hopes up. You never will. He's, as we're going to learn, He's unsearchable and He's unfathomable and He's deep. I want to read for you from both the book of Job and the letter to the Romans, if you will locate both in your Bible, Job 23, and then, as you would expect, Romans chapter 8. It's awfully quiet out there. You brought a Bible, right? Job 23, it's just before the book of Psalms, for you who are from any other seminary, Dallas. It's a joke, folks, relax. Job 23 and Romans chapter 8. Let me read Job 23 beginning at verse 3, and I want you to feel the struggle that Job is going through in the midst of his circumstances. Picture yourself having lost everything, covered with, we call them boils. They're like ulcers, running ulcers all over your body. You buried all 10 of your children, and you have claimed bankruptcy, and you are now writing a statement to God. And I think you put yourself in those shoes, you'll appreciate what he says in Job 23, verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer, and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No. Surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Now listen to the confusion. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Oh, when he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. And Romans 8, if you will follow along, let me take 26 through 30. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Those are amazing words, aren't they? You are getting a brief glimpse of where we're going to be as we attempt to get a hold of the whole issue of ambiguity, the uncertainty of following God's will wherever it leads us. Not because we understand it or can explain it, but because we want to be obedient to him as his children. And here we are today in the midst of God's plan for our lives. You are right at the center of where he has placed you. You are engaged in a journey, and only he knows the destination on this earth where it will take you. You have no way of knowing even 1 minute from now what you will experience. No one knows the future. You don't know the day of your death. He does. You don't know lives you're impacting. He does. All of this is part of his unusual plan. And we're the players in the drama of his performance. It's about his will, not ours, right?
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the mystery of God's will on your own, be sure to download our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies by going to insight.org/studies. Chuck titled today's message, A Better Way to Look at God's Will.
I have two enduring goals in life. They are related to one another, but let me give you the first, then the second. First, I desire most of all to learn how to think theologically, biblically. I want to see life through the lenses of God's eyes for the rest of my days. I don't want to argue with him. I don't want to fight him. I don't have to understand him, but I do want to obey him. And so I want to see life, whether it be struggle or joy, whether it be loss or gain. I want to see it all through God's perspective. And secondly, a goal would be, I want to help other people do the same thing. I want that as much, I think really more than anything else. I want to be able to turn to the Scriptures, find direction, answers, help, and when I can't find answers, a reason to trust and to wait for God when I can't see the reason behind where I'm going, and to have peace through all of that. Now I want to help other people know how to do that too. I'm convinced that everything within us screams against that way of thinking and that way of living. Here's the reason why. From the time we are very small children, we were self-centered. Our world revolved around what we wanted when we wanted it. And if someone else had it, we wanted it even more. And then when we got it, we wanted to keep it, and it didn't satisfy, so we were looking to somebody else to rip them off and get it from them, whether it's a toy or our uncle's watch or whatever. And we spend our lives centered upon ourselves rather than upon God. And the fallout of that is we view God through human eyes. And we think that he is a lot like us, except he's older. And he's been around forever. But we think his will is like our will, except it's smarter and certainly has a long view in mind. But our human style is read into God's character. So that when he throws us a curve, we call him unfair, and cynics call him untrustworthy, and our faith gets shattered because bad things happen to great people or little children or countries. For example, if I were God, which is a frightening thought, but if I were God, I would never have allowed Dietrich Bonhoeffer to die at age 39 in a prison, in a concentration camp. I'd have given him 50, 60 more years to live and to write and to model that life of faith. I would have never had those five missionaries that went to the Alca Indians to reach them for Christ. I would have never had them martyred. Never. I would have sustained their lives and used them in ways that I considered worthwhile. I would have never put Corrie Ten Boom through what she went through. Never. Certainly not Betsy or Papa Ten Boom. Because that's not fair. I can think of some people I'd put through that, but it wouldn't have been Corrie Ten Boom, and it wouldn't have been Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It would have been people that I felt deserved it, because that's the way I think. I wouldn't have had Chuck Swindoll's mother die at age 63, and his dad 9 years later die that painful, slow death he died. I wouldn't have done it like that. My mother was 15 years younger than my dad. She should have outlived him 15 years. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? And I wouldn't have had you go through the tough things you've gone through in this last 12, 15 months. Because I don't think that would have been fair to you. You deserve better than that. Well, most of you do, you know. But that's not thinking theologically. That's putting God in human garb and giving him emotions like we have and calling fair what we consider fair, right what we consider right, wrong what we call wrong, and therefore, how dare he interrupt our world with such injustices and inequities? Okay, you with me so far? We're just getting started. There is a mystery, an aura about the living God that is by design to force us to trust him when we cannot figure it out. He is inexplicable. He is unfathomable. He is infinite. The hymn writer put it well, immortal, invisible God, only wise in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, thou rulest in might, he goes on to say. All of these great terms about God, most of which just go right over our heads. You can't fathom infinity. You can't measure the unmeasurable. You can't plumb the depths of unfathomable. You can't grasp the unsearchable. You're not supposed to. Okay? So guess what? The mystery is on purpose because the plan is profound. The plan is designed to conform us to Christ, not make us comfortable, not give us our wish, not to help it be convenient. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Not to make human sense. I'm convinced God's will is more often than not humanly illogical. There, got it said. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, turn there. This is a great place to start. You see, in life, we can focus on our circumstances. Don't miss this. Our circumstances, other people, ourselves, or God. When you think theologically, you focus first, and I would hope to think, only on God. Regardless of what people say or think, regardless of the circumstances you're under, and what are you doing under there anyway? Circumstances you're going through, regardless of anything else, God and God alone is working out His great plan. And in the final tally, it will be fabulous. Fabulous. My good friend Jay Kessler, wonderful guy, has a great line. He says, I think our first response when we get to heaven will be, oh, isn't that great? That's what it was all about. That's why he did what he did. That's why those martyrs gave their lives, because thousands, multiple thousands of people came to Christ and stepped into ministry that would never have even been impacted had it not been for the deaths of those five people. Now, wait a minute. Don't make that walk on all fours. If you do, you'll turn God into a cruel and unfair kind of creator from our perspective. I mean, he doesn't just throw people into the blind winds of fate and stand back with arms folded, thinking, let's see if they can make it through that. It's not like that. Before the foundations of the world, he designed and put together the plan that would include the martyred missionaries, the Corrie ten Booms, the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, and millions of other names I could bring before you that at the time did not make sense. Jeremiah. Here's Jeremiah. Verse 4. I love this. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hear the breaks? What did you just read? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know why that's hard to grasp? Because it never is true of any human being. You never knew anyone before they were conceived. You can't. You're finite. You're a human being. You are limited in your ability to grasp information. We do well to learn a little from history, looking back. But he says, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Look at this. You look at the next statement. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart, Jeremiah, to be my prophet before you took your first earthly breath on this planet. I set you apart to be my spokesman. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. These nations are in bad shape. These people are running away from God. They don't want God's will. And the Lord puts a guy that cries a lot in front of them to be his prophet. You would expect a crusader, a first-class linebacker for the Chicago Bears to lead the charge. No way God uses weeping prophets in his plan. Now, understand, Jeremiah's writing what happened. So he struggles with it. I said, verse 6, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." Sound familiar? Moses at the burning bush, "I want you to lead the Exodus." Me? I'm 80. I blew it once. I've lost my ability to I want you to lead the Exodus. What will people think? Here again, remember, you can get your eyes on people, circumstances, situations, or God, or yourself. Who's he thinking about? Himself. We're born, we're raised to do that. We take care of ourselves. We watch out for number one. We're focused on how we look and what people are thinking and maybe saying about us. If we have one button missing on our shirt or blouse, it's all we can do to exist until we can get alone and repair it. We are so focused on ourselves, we can't get past our self-consciousness. He said, "Alas, Lord God, I don't know how to speak. I am a youth." Listen to verse 7. "The Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth." Whew. That's a rather strong response. "Everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak." And he also knew he was afraid of people. He said, "Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." The Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, "I put my words in your mouth. See, I've appointed you this day over the nations, the kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, destroy and overthrow and build and to plant." And here's Jeremiah. All this stuff is going by, and he's thinking, "I can't do it. I am inadequate." Inadequate. Eugene Peterson, in his fine book, Run with the Horses, addresses this scene. He was not qualified. He had not done well in the God courses in school. He hadn't been around long enough to know how the world works. "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am only a youth." And then he adds this little twist. "We are practiced in pleading inadequacy in order to avoid living at the best that God calls us to do. His plan for us is so much greater. It is so beyond what you could imagine. But your inadequacy, your pleading inadequacy, will put the brakes on it every time. I mean, who am I?" You know the problem? We don't think theologically. We think humanly. We really do. You are more concerned about what other people think than what God says. You are. If you really, really believe the promises of God, you would not have worried this past week as you have worried. You would not try to shoulder the load that is beyond your ability to handle. You would not have lied or made up an excuse to cover your tracks. You'd have told the truth. We're all like, we just live like that. That's the way we're put together. God is shaping us into the image of his Son, Christ, which means his discipline, his endurance, his faithfulness, his purity, his attitude, his whole approach to life. God's goal is to make us like his Son. And for some of us, that is a lifetime task.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the final message in Chuck Swindoll's classic teaching series called The Mystery of God's Will. It's message number 11 in an 11-part study that concludes this coming Tuesday. As a compliment to this series, I want to point you to a practical book Chuck's written that complements this topic. It's our featured resource right now, and it's called What If God Has Other Plans? The subtitle is Finding Hope When Life Throws You the Unexpected. You know, few things will test our faith more than an unexpected crisis. Things like a financial disaster, dealing with a disrespectful boss, betrayal by your best friend. These difficult moments expose our fears, our feelings of inadequacy, our insecurities. In his book, Chuck Swindoll addresses 11 complicated issues with 11 biblical answers. Today, we're pleased to offer Chuck's book, When You Step Forward to Become a Monthly Companion. It comes with our profound gratitude for your partnership. Let me give you some context for this important relationship with Insight for Living. As a monthly companion, you agree to send a monthly donation in the amount of your choice. When you do, you play a significant role in making this daily program available. If you think about it, when you first started listening to Chuck Swindoll teach on the Bible, that moment was sponsored by someone you never met. It was a monthly companion who sponsored you. And you can take that step today. To provide for someone else what was once provided to you, we invite you to become a monthly companion. And to thank you for your first-time donation as a monthly companion, we want to say thanks by providing a copy of Chuck's book, What If God Has Other Plans? Call 800-772-8888 or become a monthly companion by going to insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll concludes his series called The Mystery of God's Will, Monday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, A Better Way to Look at God's Will, was copyrighted in 1999, 2000, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.